the rest of the story. It's serious business, the court-martial and dismissal of a West Point cadet. They'd rather keep you in and provide the necessary discipline to shape you up. After all, getting into West Point's no small thing. It takes personal excellence, prestigious recommendations. Take this case in particular of Edgar Perry. What a folder full of testimonials he brought with him. His intelligence, his sobriety, his devotion to duty. And then he blew through the academy entrance exams as though he had written the questions. How do you figure it? How do you square the exemplary incoming cadet with the insubordinate wreck jettisoned only 7 months later? I mean, listen to the charges. Failure to attend classes, all of them. Failure to participate in parades. Failure even to respond to roll calls for almost the entire month of January. And yes, he was there at the academy all the time. Failure to obey orders. And the list goes on and on. Now, I've heard all of the excuses made on Cadet Perry's behalf. Anxiety over falling out with a stepfather. Intolerance of the tedium in the academy's routine. But let it be known that this polished and promising military material also fell under a bad influence. The influence of a specific troublemaker. It was not a fellow cadet. It was an academy colonel named Sylvanus Thayer. And that brings us to the rest of the story. One day, Colonel Thayer summoned Cadet Perry to his office. He further requested that the young man bring with him some of the poetry he had been writing. That's right, poetry. In Thayer's presence, the nervous cadet was instructed at ease. The colonel must forgive him for asking, but how did he learn of the poems? Colonel Thayer admitted that he'd overheard other cadets talking about them. Perry was about to beg the colonel's pardon while reminding him that reading and writing poetry were among the few pastimes not forbidden by academy regulations, but Thayer interrupted. The cadet had not been called in to be reprimanded, he said. The colonel simply wanted to see some of the poetry that Perry had written. So the cadet obliged, handed over the pieces of paper, and so began an afternoon of animated discussion, of reveling in the glories of rhyming words and wondrous expressions, the first such encouragement and unequivocal praise that the young man had ever experienced. "You should be published," the colonel declared at last. Young Perry, beaming, agreed. Well, whatever dreams of a career in the military the cadet may have awakened with that morning were surely extinguished by that evening. But, you see, in order to resign from West Point to become a full-time poet, Perry would need his stepfather's permission, and that permission was denied. So that left in the young man's mind, at any rate. That left only one option. Insubordination, court-martial, and dismissal, which became a reality in the early months of 1831. And yes, I do mean to say it was all utterly intentional. Remember that. Maybe it wasn't very smart, but at least the world got an author. An author who, as a teenager, entered the military under an alias, Edgar A. Perry, who then matured to become the poet you know as Edgar Allan Poe. And now you know the rest of the story.